celebrate a beautiful plant known as hemp slash marijuana, and we are going to do everything we can to tie in with some of the larger organizations to really get them the airtime they need to get their message across and really build a hub for all those folks that are all about either legalizing weed, decriminalizing weed, medical marijuana, legalizing hemp, right on down the line. I mean, we're going to do an entire show about how this wonderful plant has been held back, who's held it back, and how the cracks in their fucking dam are starting to break.
Dangerous Conversation, Bubba Army Radio, RadioIsle.com, Bubba Channel 1. Later on, a three-hour delay of the Westcast feed, Bubba Channel 2. Thumb up or thumb down?
We got him?
We should have him.
We already have Max on Skype, do we?
That we do.
I want to make sure he can hear me okay. Max, can you hear me okay?
I certainly can. Can you hear me?
Oh, man, he's got that. He's got the Aussie accent. He's got the deep pipes. He's got the perfect radio voice.
Good pipes.
Yeah. Have you done radio before?
I have, actually. I've got a show on American Voice Radio. I've been doing it for 4 or 5 years. It goes right out across America on FM. So, yeah, there it is.
See? You know, if you haven't seen The Awakening or The Calling or some of the actual movies he's put together, which are a combination of a deep rabbit hole exploration into the consciousness of what we are, what we're connected to, fascinating conversation. And he's also the same guy who can tell you, you know, hey, yeah, there's fluoride in your water and psychotropics are creating these killers and drones and guns are now the next stage. Max Egan, are you in Australia right now? Where are you right now?
I certainly am. I'm in a place called Byron Bay, which is the most easterly point of Australia.
And you've lived your whole life down there?
Yeah, I've lived here my whole life. I've traveled quite a bit, but I've sort of been based here my whole life, yeah.
I love it. And when did you start your own personal exploration? Were you this little Buddha at 10 years old, or did you have your own red pill moments and your own awakening? How did you get to be the guy I'm talking to right now?
Look, I was walking around when I was 4 years old saying, this is all fucked up, you know. I was. My parents took me out into the forest when I was 4, and I said, this is fantastic. Why don't we come and live here? And they said, oh, we can't. And they said, well, why not? And they said, well, we don't own the land. And I went, own the land? What do you mean, own the land? And they said, well, we don't own the land. I said, who owns the land? And they said, the government. And I said, how did they get it? You know? I couldn't figure out what this concept of owning land was all about. Well, we couldn't just live in the forest. And I'm walking around my yard going, this is all messed up. And then when my parents showed me a picture of the pyramids when I was 8 years old, I just went, well, I have to know how they built this thing. And I put all the comic books aside, and I started researching ancient history when I was about 8. And so I was never really asleep, man. I just went through life thinking this is all messed up. I got kicked out of 4 high schools for arguing with my teachers. And left school halfway through high school. I left the education system and started working as a lead guitarist because I just didn't want to participate in society. So I got to do what I love, which was play music, and I got to live on the outside of society and look at the freak show and kind of get paid to travel around investigating this stuff. So that was my life.
Did you, if the only thing he's left out, Rick, I believe, is surfing, because if you grew up in Australia, you know, because he's a rock star, you know, and, you know, I'm being a wise ass, but this guy, I believe in reincarnation, kind of like the way you kind of finish off one life might be you're born into the next thing you create.
How good of a life you live the next time
around.
Well,
not necessarily a reward punishment, but more of a, if I've created this, that's what I'll experience the next time, and I'm kind of born into it.
Okay.
I'm 52, Max. I've been doing radio since I was 20, but my red pill moment didn't even happen until 2004. So I'm a little late to get on this, but I've also had my own spiritual quest and stripped away my religious dogmas. So a lot of what you talk about certainly resonates with someone like me. I have chosen, excuse me, not to replace any religion with another ism, but to just understand the true connectivity of what I am at the core, and not need a middleman or a book to try to define the word God, which is a scary word. You use the word God out loud, and it automatically is assimilated that you are a religious person, and many people like to identify themselves as spiritual. In other words, I am what I already was. There is no outside definition of me. And that's really where you resonated with me. Because I want to talk several topics with you tonight. Everything from, yes, fluoridation, maybe some geoengineering, some of the stuff that's actually happening to mankind. But you've also not been afraid to, you know, to buck the system. You don't go after religion, but you're not afraid to call it out. You don't really put everything in science, but you're certainly, you know, not afraid to say that, you know, things like the sacred mean and that kind of stuff, it's built in. It's you can't deny it. It's there. It's a pattern, if you will. But you've also rocked the boat a little with some of your videos, you know, kind of like Peter Joseph with Zeitgeist and Ben Stewart, who made Chymatica and Esoteric Agenda. When I started watching your material, I said, this is another one of these guys who's not afraid to David Icke as well, speak outside the box. Was that built into you since you were four, or is that trial and error?
Oh, no, that was built in. That was the way I came into the world. My family used to tell me I was a rebel without a cause. And I just used to tell them that I was awake, that the world was messed up, that I couldn't understand why society operated this way. So I was just always that way. And, yeah, you've got to be prepared to speak out. And there's a lot of good stuff in science. There's a lot of good stuff in spirituality, but there's a lot of judgmental people that won't look at the broader spectrum of things, you know? And I think really if you look at science and spirituality, they actually complement each other. But it goes beyond a Newtonian concept of physics, you know. There's a lot more to it. And I totally believe what you mentioned about how we set ourselves up for the next life, you know. That what you do with the time you've got here allotted to you, the heart space you're in, and whether you improve reality or let it slip into something that you really don't want. You know what I mean? Because you're going to have to come back to that, what you created this time around. That's how far your consciousness evolves, and it depends on the direction you wish to take. It's all about free will and free choice. I want to see a world where everybody's free. That's the only thing that really means anything to me is freedom. And I'm not interested in going down a rabbit hole, a free man rabbit hole, and freeing myself, sending back a birth certificate, doing all these things and becoming sovereign. I want the whole world to become sovereign. I want them to remember who they are. That's basically what I want to do. And so I'm just kind of here to rock the boat a little bit, I think. And just, I mean, all I really do on the shows and on the films is I sort of point out the obvious, that we do have a problem. We've got some really, really serious problems, but we've got some really simple solutions to these problems as well. And a lot of it comes down to finding ourselves. That's the first step, because everything about this system is designed to lead you away from that. You're always looking for a solution in something which is external to yourself, but all the solutions lie within, because if you change your heart space, change your energetic state, so you can view the world differently and then apply that energy to the world around you and stand in the power of who you are, you have the power to change everything. And that's what I've been
saying. I got to jump in right here, because you've said that before, and I believe that wholeheartedly. But I'm kind of torn at, is my consciousness creating my reality? And I agree with that. But I'm also like, I'm in a physical realm for a reason. I'm supposed to be a physical body doing physical things. Doing. In other words, is doing part of the conscious creation? In other words, if I plant a hemp plant, it's not just me sitting back and thinking the conscious thought that hemp needs to be legal. I've actually done it in the three-dimensional realm that I occupy with my body, with my vessel, with my vehicle. And the doing creates a thought as well. And I've always wondered how people like you think about, you know, because I hear so much about our consciousness creates our reality, and I am a firm believer in that. But I also understand that I am in a temporary realm of three dimension, and I am a doer. I'm, you know, banging on the table right now. I've got the ability to do something, not just think it. What do you think about that role when it comes to the things you talk about, Max?
Well, that's exactly what I totally agree with you 100%. That's what I keep saying to people, is they find this space within themselves, but then they forget to apply it to reality. You're living in a 3D world. If you don't participate in it, it's not going to change. It's all very well to be in this lovely little love and light heart space, but unless you're applying it to the world around you, I mean, what makes you think you're worthy of anything? What makes you think you're going to go anywhere better than what you're allowing to be created around you by your non-participation in it? That's what I keep saying to people. I mean, that's why I make the films that I do. That's why I speak out the way I do. That's why I try to unite the people the way I do, because this is what we have to do. We have to participate in it. We are here doing. We are in a 3D reality, and that's what people forget. They think, oh, I'm going to ascend the fifth dimension. Well, what makes you think you're worthy of it when you allowed the third dimension to turn to hell around you because you failed to participate in it?
Yeah, you let fear dictate your choices rather than love. We'll go a little deeper there. But, you know, in your films and in what so many people have pointed out is sometimes referred to as revisionist history, what they want us to think the past was and what they, and like you said, to keep us from remembering what we truly are, you lead them, your sheep, to a different direction. You do that through, you know, years ago, religion, now more mainstream media, but a lot of people are still asleep because the mechanism is so refined now and so calculated and so good at what it does that it keeps people asleep. You know, the television, the alpha waves, but the revisionist history of us not knowing our past, and whether that stopped 500 years ago, 1,000, 5,000 years ago, a lot of people are still being born. We're born, you know, born into this matrix. But meanwhile, they're born into a system that assimilates them so quickly. They don't seem to kick and scream and fight at all. And then you bump into people like you who are the exact opposite. But the majority are still completely held in lockstep by everything from the mainstream media to religion and, you know, the isms, the building behind the faith. All of that stuff seems to have a pretty good grip on humanity right now, Max.
Well, it does, you know, but it's loosening its hold. Well, it's being forced to loosen its hold, like, because people are waking up. I mean, things are getting so difficult for people. And that's the main thing that they do, is they keep people in a state of fear-based mind control, but mainly through the monetary system. Keep people enslaved to debt, keep people in a state of scarcity. That's what this current monetary system does. So that automatically locks them into fear-based mind control, and they're too busy trying to deal with reality around them to ever really discover themselves. You know, I was really fortunate in as much as I became a musician. I left the education system halfway through it. I got kicked out of four schools for arguing with my teachers because I didn't believe what they were telling me. They'd tell me something, and I'd say, hey, I've just read a book that gives a completely different perspective on what you just told us. So you should be presenting that to the class as the most popularly accepted theory, because there are a lot of other perspectives of that. And they hated me. Like, they couldn't stand what I was doing. So I ended up just leaving school. I got kicked out of four, and I just left. And I was very fortunate that I was able to spend my life on the outside of society looking in. And so that's why I think, you know, I gained the perspective that I did, and the system never really got hold of me.
Yeah, but never assimilated, yeah.
No, but now it's getting so much in people's faces that people really don't have a choice other than to wake up. They have to. It's getting really serious. People are wondering why they're struggling so much. And I think we're going to see a huge shift this year. I really do. I think this year is going to be a very, very telling year, because it's getting so dark and so dismal. There's so many things that they're bringing at us. You know, the chemtrails, the fluoride, the GM food, the wars in Syria, the attack against the Second Amendment in America. We've got things going on here in Australia trying to give local councils constitutional recognition, which will essentially give them the ability to make law and undermine the whole system and hand it over to the United Nations. That's what's happening here in Australia. So it's getting really, really dark, but there's also some really big moves happening to regain the sovereignty for all the people and basically collapse the whole system while still leaving it there, collapse the corporate side of the system, but still leave the system there for us to decide what to do with.
So well, they put the person on the psychotropics. It creates the shooter. The shooter creates the gun control. The gun control creates the tightening on society, and the psychotropics create more kind of problem reaction solution kind of thing. And we're seeing that here in the United States. You live in a country that that had its gun confiscation not in the distant past, but recently. And how do the average Australians talk about that? How your government went about taking guns away?
Look, they don't even really talk about it. We've never been a gun culture, and most Australians are pretty apathetic, and they just don't think about it. They just don't think about those sorts of things. I mean, it was a completely staged event, and they removed the guns from the Australian people very, very easily, because, I mean, there's only 22 million people in Australia at that time when they did that. I mean, there's more people in greater New York than there is in the whole of Australia. So it's very easy for them to control the people here. And unfortunately, they're quite apathetic. We've got huge open spaces here, and we've got a lot of freedoms, really. Like, you know, we're very controlled in a corporate way, but we've got a lot of space and a lot of things. We just sort of kick back on the beach. It's a very, very relaxed culture in Australia. So it's very easy for them to do, especially since we were never a gun culture to begin with. But it showed how easily the people can be disarmed, and it showed the model that they can use everywhere else. And this is exactly what they've done in Sandy Hook. I mean, if people can't see Sandy Hook as sage, I don't know what it will take. I mean, but it's the same with 9/11, you know?
Yeah, there has been so many different false flags. By the way, when you want to find Max, thecrowhouse.com is a great place to go. It's a website that you can click on. You can watch some of the documentaries I've already talked about. And as I'm scrolling down, I could have sworn I saw a teaser for another. Are you working on another film?
I'm working on one, but I haven't put a teaser up there yet. There's all sorts of stuff there on the homepage, but I will be doing another documentary this year, which will involve a bit of traveling. And that's part of this project I've got on the boiler, which is called the Full Circle Project, which I want to get around and do workshops and sort of try to reconnect people and try to connect societies together, establish dialogue with local politicians, all sorts of stuff, start reforestation programs. Like, it's a really, really big thing I'm trying to put together. And we're going to document that whole thing. And that'll be interesting. But, there will be probably another documentary out by the end of the year or by halfway through next year anyway.
We have something here we call the 80-20 rule, where 80% of the human experience is exactly the same from birth to death to pain to joy, you know, the full-on 3D spectrum of human experience. Then the other 20 is, you know, you're raised this or you were born that or you were taught this. The 20% that divides us, the divide and conquer that the mainstream media works so well, and we call it 80-20, and that's really, I think, what you were just talking about. By the way, we're big on solar energy and green fuels like algae. And I'm like you. Everything is energy. And if we're going to have a prosperous world, the more prosperous energy we have, and especially controlling our own and keeping it inexpensive, we could, you know, foster our own algae farms and our own solar farms and our own growing process. And we could extract water directly from the atmosphere and keep it clean and not have things like fracking take place. It's very easy to imagine what we need to do, but the fight against what we're up against is difficult. And I know you gave a speech not too long ago at the World Hemp Congress for 2012, and anybody that knows the miracle plant that is hemp and why it was vilified, everything from forestry to paper companies to the cotton industry did not want this plant, obviously. Everything from its psychoacoustic effects to the CBDs to, you know, the pain-killing effects to the medicines that can be made from it. I'm kind of like preaching to the choir, but you were asked to speak at that event, and more people are learning the truth about hemp and I don't even like to call it marijuana because that's a slang term they tried to assign to it to make people fear it more. A plant that's, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000 years old, Max? How long ago did mankind start using hemp?
Well, yeah, before recorded history. I mean, it's been there for all of recorded history. We can trace it back to about 5,000 years of recorded use, and in that time it's been responsible for zero deaths. It served as mankind's companion plant always up until the mid-20th century. And there's no reason the plant should be illegal. And I'm not even interested in having it legalized. I just say take it off the books altogether. There's no reason to deal with it any more than you do with a blade of grass or a fir tree. You know, you don't even need to legalize it. Just forget it. It's there. It's part of the system. Don't worry about it. You know, it doesn't need to have any guidelines or any controls or any type of laws around it at all. Just leave it. It's a plant. It's a companion plant. It's a great plant. It does wonderful things. So just leave it alone. You know, use it for medicine the way we always did. It was very interesting, that speech at the Hemp Congress. That was the first public speech I ever gave, actually. And I didn't even know what I was going to be talking about until the night before the speech, when I looked at the program, and it said Max Egan will be speaking on hemp in the political world. And I thought, oh, I can do that, hemp in the political world. So I delivered a pretty scathing speech to the politicians about the illegalities of hemp. And I think we should absolutely legalize it. See, the thing is, we've got to find a way through the system. The system's there. All the problems that we face, all the things like the illegality of hemp and the whaling problem and the coal seam gas mining, the fracking, all these things they're doing, these are all symptoms of the one problem, which is the system itself. And the system itself exists in its current form because we've forgotten that politicians are simply public trustees. We elect these people into positions of trust in order to create a viable society for us. And if you look at the earth, I'd say these people are in breach of trust. Now, something that I've come across recently is a thing called the One People's Public Trust, which has been put together by a UCC lawyer. And what they've done is they've kind of maneuvered all governments, all corporate governments into a corner, because this whole system is a corporate system. And the UCC, which is the Uniform Commercial Code, is what controls the whole thing. And there's a UCC lawyer who's basically put in a UCC filing, reclaiming reality and the earth and everything within it for the people. And the way they've done it and the way they've worded it is they've actually managed to collapse the entire corporate system. It's already collapsed. I would suggest this is why the Pope has just resigned. This is why Queen Beatrice has stepped down. I think it's all related. And what they're putting together now is a series of forms that we can all use as courtesy letters to inform those people who still wish to extort money from us that they are now operating in a position of 100% liability for their actions. They're not shielded by a corporation anymore because all of the corporate system has now been made null and void by this UCC filing. And they can't deny it because it's all got its I's dotted and its T's crossed and it's been done by a UCC lawyer and it seems to be pretty watertight. And if they claim that this filing is invalid, then they have to invalidate the entire UCC system itself. And to do that means they don't have a system. So that would be complete anarchy and they don't want that. So basically what this filing has done, it's put control of all governments and basically all the resources on the planet, which are all ours because we paid for them. It's put them back in charge of the people. The people are now above the government with this UCC filing. They're working on paperwork to get this out to everybody so that we can let people know that the playing field has now changed. And if people wish to take you into the legal system and try to charge you with these laws and extort money from you for things for which there is no crime, which is what this system tends to do, well, we have the paperwork there to invalidate their claim completely. And not only that, but, you know, if you want to come and arrest me and persist in it, I'll put a commercial lien on you and take your house. So, you know, and it's done in such a way that it can even stand up in their legal system if it comes down to it. And they can't challenge it because it is these UCC filings which is the basis of their entire legal system.
That is Max Egan. And Max, you know, kind of like this broadcast is initiating on the Internet, and they invented the Internet to keep an eye on me, but yet you and I are using the Internet against them. It sounds like the lawyers have found the Da Vinci Code, if you will, to finally go after the corporatization, the corporatocracy, that has the same rights as a human. And, you know, it's about a 100-year anniversary of corporations were supposed to have limits. They were supposed to have term limits. They weren't supposed to last forever. And it changed, I believe, Rockefeller. I can't remember the history behind it, where the Frankenstein was created. And it sounds to me like, from what you just suggested, that maybe they have found the giant killer in this.
Well, they have. You think, see, the UCC legal system is a system that basically sits above all the other legal systems. It's kind of the secret one they don't teach you about. Lawyers don't go and study UCC law. They only let people that they trust in to know about UCC law because that basically controls the whole system. But unfortunately, they let someone in who they couldn't trust. And she's a mother of four. She's a brilliant lawyer and she's a very, very spiritual person. Her name is Heather. And she has created this trust, which is the One People's Public Trust. And you can go to a website called peoplestrust1776.org, and you look at all the documents they've put there for it. And they're in the process of doing a couple of, like I said, a courtesy letter that you can show people, and putting together a letter which you can show to people that you're not actually having any trouble with at the moment, just to let them know, and another letter which you can use to free yourself from the system if you're already entangled in some sort of legal issue. Because the thing is that this isn't something that we're going to do. This has already been done. The UCC filing is already there. It already exists, which means these systems are already collapsed. It's now just up to us to let people know. And this is using their own Uniform Commercial Code filings to do this, which is the basis of their whole system. So like I said, they can't invalidate this because if they do, they invalidate their entire system and then they don't have a system. It means none of their laws are invalid. And what you've got to understand is that because governments are corporations and they're not allowed to be, and it is these governments that have granted all these charters to these other corporations, because the government itself is invalid to begin with because it's not allowed to be a corporation, this means all the charters that it's granted are now invalid. They're all voided.
All the dominoes are falling at the same time. I want you to backtrack.
They're already down because this has already been filed. That's the thing. So
yes.
So all we have to do now is let people know that the playing field has now changed. And we have filings and paperwork to show them to prove it.
Max, I want you to backtrack just for a second to something you mentioned. You mentioned the Queen, you mentioned the Pope, and the reason, you know, London, Rome, Washington, these are all independent countries, if you will. And I want you to talk about that just for a second. And the reason why you mentioned, because this, you know, one is, you know, Washington is the military might, Rome is the spiritual so-called power, and London is the financial strength. And you mentioned two of these three leaders resigning. I need you to connect the dots for me a little bit there.
Well, it isn't the Queen of England who's resigned. Queen Elizabeth is the figurehead in England. It's actually Queen Beatrice of the Netherlands who has resigned. Queen Beatrice is one of the head of the Bilderberg Group. She controls Dutch Royal Shell. She's basically the head of the European monarchy. She's up the food chain from Queen Elizabeth. People don't hear about Queen Beatrice very much, because you never hear about the real players, you know what I mean? But she's the head of the whole European monarchy, basically, and she's decided to step down and hand the reins over to her son. And at the same time, we're seeing the Pope saying he's going to step down. He can't handle the duties of his office, and he's going to resign. And this hasn't happened since about the 14th century. I think there was a Pope, the last Pope, to step down. And the whole corporate system, it sort of stemmed from the Vatican to begin with. The whole three city states that you're talking about, which is Vatican City and London and Washington, D.C., we've got the spiritual control center with the monetary control center and the military control center in those three city states. This all comes out of a corporate system, a series of trusts that were created by a pope called Pope Bonifacio, I think it was the third, and he created a thing called the Unum Sanctum Trust back in 1302, which basically down the line through the creation of more trusts created the Crown Corporation and created the whole corporate system that we have in place now. Well, this has all been collapsed through the lodging of this UCC filing. So that's why it's important. It's very, very significant that the Pope would step down after this filing. And you know, maybe it's just a coincidence, but I don't know. I'm not big on coincidences, you know. Not when you see Queen Beatrice stepping down at the same time. So they're basically getting themselves out of the firing line for what's coming. And I think once people wake up to this, this will bring a huge amount of empowerment to the people. And the beauty of this is that by doing this filing and basically invalidating the entire system, it puts it back in the hands of the people because we paid for it. It's all ours. All these people are our employees. They're all public servants. And there's an order in there for public servants to behave in a certain manner. And they're obligated to do it by this UCC filing. And this can go to any of their courts if we're forced to do it. It can actually go to their courts, and we can have it seen under their system, but we don't even need to. We can step outside their courts, and we can do it through commercial liens. So it's all been put in place now. It's just we've just got to alert the people to it. This is the mechanism that we've been looking for. All the people that have been going down these free man rabbit holes and the sovereignty rabbit holes and the UCC stuff and the everything, trust law, all of it. Everyone's found a piece of the puzzle, and now it's finally all come together, and it's come together with the brilliant mind of this lovely UCC lawyer, mother of four, who is has put this whole thing together. And of course it would be a mother. I mean, never mess with a mother who's angry, brother. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Of course, oh, yeah. Other who's gonna step in and say, okay, enough is enough, you know?
Well, everybody has a muse. There's an inspiration there somewhere. Sometimes it's like you born into it, and other people end up pissed off because end up with a child with autism, and they start looking down a rabbit hole, and they look into GMOs and vaccinations and fluoride and geoengineering and microchipping, and they get a fire lit under their ass, and next thing you know, it becomes something called an activist. Max, I got to play this audio that you and I believe it was Ken O'Keefe posted of Patrick, is it Clausen?
Patrick Clausen, yeah. What a man, eh?
Unbelievable. The things we talk about on this show, Rick, you know, Gulf of Tonkin, everything all the way back to Remember the Maine, the idea that they needed Pearl Harbor to happen, this guy isn't going to mention PNAC in 9/11, but you have got to hear, this guy is giving a speech. And he's basically talking about, well, the United States wants to go to war. Who do we want to go to war with now? Iran, right?
Iran.
All right, listen to what this man says. Just listen to him.
I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough. And it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran. Which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, that the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II, as David mentioned. You may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor. Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode. Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall he had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode. We didn't go to war with Spain until the USS, until the Maine exploded. And may I point out that Mr. Lincoln did not feel he could call out the Federal Army until Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander at Fort Sumter to do exactly that thing, which the South Carolinians had said would cause an attack.
He just mentioned false flag. He literally admitted that the Fort Sumter was a false flag. And Max, he uses the word crisis initiation. In other words, we need to pick a fight. We have to try to pick a fight. In the public's eye, they need to have attacked us, because if we pick the fight with them, we look like the bully. And he literally comes out and says at the beginning of this, it's difficult. Picking the fight in public is difficult to do and get away with. That's what he's saying.
Yes, crisis initiation is really tough. You know, crisis initiation. Why are we trying to initiate crisis? What's this all about? Aren't we trying to create peace and prosperity? No, we're trying to initiate crisis to bring about a certain agenda. And he goes on to talk about how what they can do to spark a war with Iran. Because obviously Iran isn't doing it. They're not taking the bait. So perhaps we need to step up the pressure. That's what he says. And maybe a submarine will go down. Who would know why? You know, it's like this is a Jewish lobbyist. And it's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And they're putting it right there and they're filming it. So you can actually see what they're talking about. They're just putting it right out there in your face.
That's why I wanted to bring it up, is because you and Ken bring it to you do some great sarcasm. It's a great piece, and it's at your website. But the hubris, it used to be they would try to do this stuff, you know, where no one knew about what they were doing, maybe back in the days of newspapers and telegraphs and radio. But now they're willing to literally say this stuff in fucking speeches as they're videoing it, knowing this stuff is going to get out there, and they don't care, Max. They don't care.
They don't care, and the shocking part about it is that nothing was done. The people don't care. It went in one ear and out the other because they're programmed by television. They're programmed with fluoride. They're programmed by their mobile phones and the video games and all the stuff they're bombarded with. Their systems are so shut down, and so are their minds. And they listen to this, and it goes in one ear and out the other, and they don't care. That is the scary part about it. Why didn't we see this guy hauled before a commission? Who are you? What are you talking about? What's this crisis initiation? Who are you? Who do you work for? What's your agenda here? Why weren't they all over this guy? You know, that's what people need to be asking, and that's the really dangerous part, and that's the scary part.
The fact that the corporations, by the way, my background is not anything other than being a radio guy since the early 80s, and I've seen the consolidation of my business and the Telecommunications Act and the Rush Limbaugh ends up on 600 stations. I've seen the idea of having 1,500 different opinions on 1,500 different radio stations whittled down to six owners of all mainstream media. You even said at the current rate of corporate expansion, we would probably have, what, two or three owners of all, every communications device there is, newspaper, your phone. Is it getting to the point where it's going to be the company? You know, like there's one, you know, it's like you see the number one everywhere and everything is owned by the same corporation. Are we close to that?
That's where it would have eventually gotten to if the system was allowed to keep going the way it was. It would have absolutely gotten to that. But that's what I'm saying about this people's trust. It's collapsed all of that now. If people don't know it, then they'll just keep doing it. So people have to know, and they have to be prepared to stand up and say, hey, stop, because now I've got this which shows that you can't do that anymore. And, it would absolutely end up being one great giant company that runs the whole planet. And, of course, it'll be all about maximizing profits, which means that the quality of all produce and everything goes down and the people are made more and more expendable in order to support this corporate model. You know, you've got to wonder where it comes from. It certainly doesn't serve humanity. It only serves a few at the top who control it and puppeteer the whole thing. But so I really believe this this people's trust has collapsed it. I really do. I think people need to go and look at this site and get hold of these forms and read them. They owe it to their children. They owe it to themselves to do it. And if anybody comes to your door, anybody sends you a bill or tries to extort money from you, you need to show them these UCC filings and have them look at them. Because I guarantee they will, they'll step back because they're totally backed into a corner by using their own UCC rulings. So I highly recommend people go and look at this, peoplestrust1776.org. And I'm not saying this because I've got anything to do with the website. I don't. But, it's honestly the first thing that I've actually got excited about for a very, very long time.
It's great to see you. Max Egan is our guest for at least a couple more minutes. Let's step outside the box. Things I love talking about is the fact that consciousness is pretty much what permeates everything. Like Bill Hicks likes to say, on a ride, and when this ride is over, there'll be another ride, and there'll always be a ride. There's a permanence. I'm part of that. I couldn't possibly explain it. I can't conceive it in my tiny little brain. But it permeates everything. And there is a natural order to the expansion of the understanding, or re-remembering, or remembering is one of the books I used to read called Conversations with God. It was always about, you don't need to learn anything. You need to remember what you truly are. And in that, remembering is how you expand things. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about the politics of the world and some of the bad guys. Let's get some of the good news that there is a, you know, maybe it's this 25,000-year cycle. Maybe it's a little bit of the astrophysics and some of the astrotheology and the science and the quantum mechanics and the, and all the things that seem connected, but it seems like a very interesting time. New Agers call it the New Age, and the end times, the end of something is the beginning of something else, Max. It certainly is a very interesting time to be alive as a human being, is it not?
Oh, it absolutely is, very, very much so. I think we're at a tipping point right now. Like I said, it always gets darkest before the dawn. We've got so many things coming at us which looked almost insurmountable for a while, but I think we're going to see a huge shift in consciousness this year. We really are. We're going to see people finally remember who they are and remember the responsibility that they have as good custodians of this planet. That's what we need to be. Each generation are the custodians of life on this planet, the custodians of freedom on this planet. We're the custodians of this creation so that we can hand it down to those who come after us. And we need to keep it in good condition, and we need to be able to hand it down to generations to follow us in good condition. I think we're realizing that now, and we're discovering ourselves again. And I think that the state of the world is a direct reflection of the state of our hearts, the state of our consciousness. And I think that's going to change this year. And it is. It's an incredibly pivotal time to be alive. I think there were many people disappointed with the December 21st, 2012 date, but I think it was just a tipping point. I think it was, like I said in a film in 2008, I said it's going to be when they attempt to bring the New World Order in earnest, but it'll also give us the option to take things in a completely different direction. And I think the more negative they make it, the more people are going to wake up and they're going to discover that they do have the tools to bring about positive change if they just apply themselves to the world around them. And stop with all the divisions. Stop judging people. I mean, we're all in this together. There is nobody who is more or less important or more or less necessary than anybody else. We're all in this together, and all of our perspectives are valid, and we need to just bring it together, and I think we'll do it. I think this is a year.
Love is an expansion. Fear is a contraction, and we live in an expanding universe, but everything does eventually curve on back to itself and become circular. But I also think that if there is a step one, step two, step three in that stairway, if you will, that you've got to go through that darkness, and some of that darkness is, you know, look in the mirror. Have you been a consumer? Have you been an empty-minded person? Have you, you know, not tried to connect to someone else? Have you forgotten about empathy? Have you forgotten, you know, have you been hardened by life? Have you been unable to forgive others? Have you been unable to move past your own jealousies or insecurities about other people? You know, it's great to talk about the world changing, Max, but it really is one person at a time. And, you know, Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. And that's really what he meant, is apply it to yourself. And the world automatically does change, by the way, because you change. But then it becomes more of a domino effect. The more that love makes the decisions on this planet, and sustainability and balance and all the things that would make that circular energy continual and flowing and not cut off and not creating artificial scarcity and these type of things, but an actual flow, an actual round trip, if you will, we might be destined for, you know, millennia of really good times on this planet, Max.
Oh, we could, you know, and it is a personal thing. I mean, all the change, as we said earlier, all the change that you want to see in the world, you've got to change in what's inside first. You've got to find yourself, find your heart, discover who and what you are, discover the power that you have. Until you discover that, it's useless. You know, there is no silver bullet. You know, it's the silver bullet is you, if anything. You know, you've got to find yourself. That's what it's all about. You know, and we could change the world in 3 seconds if we simply changed our attitude towards each other and stopped not facing ourselves. See, that's one of the biggest fears that we have. It is the power in ourselves, self-responsibility. People want to be free, but they don't want to be 100% responsible for their actions. And when that's what freedom is, 100% self-responsibility. You know, and that's a big, big call for people. And so they're very, very afraid of that. They like having a mother and father to look after them. They like having little rules there to control them so that if someone else gets out of line, you know, they can make a phone call, or they can, if they've got a problem in their life, they can get someone else to come and fix it up. You know what I mean? They don't want to be responsible. They don't want to discover their own power because that means they might have to use it. And that's a big, scary thing for a lot of people. But I mean, only because they've been trained to be that way. People have been,
well, if you want the boat to go in a better direction, sometimes you got to pick up a goddamn oar. You got to do some rowing yourself. It's a personal thing. Max, I want to get to your broadcast and what some of your listeners Skype back to you or call you and talk about, because sometimes when I do a show on a nightly basis, I get a chance to listen to a lot of different shows. I've certainly listened to yours, but it's always nice to get an audience, a different host's view of what the world is saying back to them. And what kind of feedback are you getting from your movies, your broadcast, and what are people saying to you?
Look, mate, I get only a positive feedback. That's better. There are a few attackers, but most of them are shills, or they're just people who are jealous or something. I don't know, but you get your attackers. But most of the positive feedback is incredible. I get so many people write to me and say, you've changed my perspective, and now I've changed my life. I've had a guy, an English guy, who's basically gone out on his own across Canada for the last few years, called Ian Mather, and he's had some remarkable results with just changing his perspective of the world. And I get a lot of positive feedback, because I think people understand that, you know, I don't want to be a leader. I'm just offering my perspective to people in the hope that maybe it will help them view things a little bit differently. And hey, if it works for you, we'll take it on. If it doesn't, then don't. But this is what's worked for me, and this is my idea of how we could change things. And the response has been almost unanimously positive. Admittedly, I do get attacked sometimes, but I think that comes from sources that we're probably speaking out against. For example, I did a radio show a couple of weeks ago called Sandy Hook, an American coup d'etat.
I listened to all 4 sessions. It was like 15 minutes at a time, so I know the show that you're talking about, yes.
Well, within 24 hours of uploading that show, I had 1,267 viruses embedded into the crow house. So that was kind of interesting. Cost me a fortune to get it cleaned, but it's all safe now. But, yeah, that sort of stuff happens, you know. And you think, okay, I'm on the right track here. You release a show and you suddenly get a whole plethora of people attacking you and saying you're this or you're that or you're Satanist or whatever. I don't know what people do. Controlled opposition, all this sort of stuff. So yeah, you know you're on the right track when people start doing that, I think.
Let's ask you. I was going to ask you a little bit about some of the bigger issues that have happened in our country here. I know you keep your finger on the pulse of America very, very much so, and everything from the Aurora shooting to Sandy Hook, and now we just had the Horner, I guess, killing yesterday. You know, he was set on fire. The building was set on fire, I'm sure. But are you far enough removed from our politics and our, like, patriotism to actually really just see the matrix? Because people in this country don't realize, they don't see the matrix because they're so, you know, they're in it. And it seems like people from other countries can really see the manipulation in our country much clearer. Are you able to see that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that whole thing was about justifying the use of drones. I mean, they've been bringing all these drones in. There's been all these protests about it. So now we've seen this Rambo guy, you know, that they've gone and they've used drones. And, you know, it's all staged. It's to legitimize the use of drones. Like, see how good they are? We just caught this incredibly dangerous man. And we just love burning people to death, you know. I mean, look at Waco. They love setting people on fire. So, you know, yeah, it's all very, very staged. And America is really such a matrix, and everything that happens there is so predictable. I mean, I said in a film back in 2008 that the next real step will be to disarm the American people. They need to find a way of doing it. And when you see how they've done it through Waco, through Oklahoma City, through the Aurora shooting, and now Sandy Hook, you can see how they're leading to it, and you can see exactly, and they've just brought in all these drones since then. So now they're justifying the use of drones. You know, you've got a very, very dangerous situation in America. You've got a government that's legalized torture. It's removed habeas corpus. It's got secret prisons. You've got a border security that's like an iron curtain around the place. Now they're putting predator drones in the sky, and they want to disarm the population. If people can't see what's going on here, then God help America, really. And people have got to start waking up to it. Hopefully this thing, I hate to harp on it, but hopefully this UCC filing, this whole People's Trust, will give them the ammunition they need to step above it without revolution, because I really believe that's what the government's pushing for. They want conflict.
Yeah, they want violence. They want violence.
They do.
Yeah.
It's the only way they're going to be able to remove the guns. I mean, they can put out executive orders. They can put out legislation, whatever. It's going to be challenged at every single step of the way. It's going to take them years to get through. But if they can create enough conflict, then they can just introduce martial law just for a little while, just to keep you safe, and of course it'll never go away. And that's what they're pushing for. I really believe that.
Max Egan, our guest, for a couple more minutes. His website, by the way, great place to, you know, if you're not familiar with 7-7, you know, why and what in the world did they spring? Michael Murphy. Michael Murphy's movies, just a great list. I mean, you go all the way down, and he goes way, way down the rabbit hole. A couple more minutes, Max. If you could pick one thing or two things that most people can do to get a little control in their own life, like no longer consuming fluoride, or, you know, to feel like, because a lot of people listen to a show like this or watch a movie like yours, and they feel overwhelmed. You can have a spiritual connection, but you can look at this Leviathan, this 200-headed monster that is really dictating to over 7 billion people the way the world is, and it can scare the shit out of you. And a lot of people, like you said earlier, you know, they're worried about paying their cable bill. They don't need a rabbit hole experience right now. And maybe we can get some, you know, you get a spiritual religious connection that gives you strength. But what can people do? I mean, what can, you know, get involved politically is one thing, but, you know, grow your own food, another example. What would be your advice to people to get some of their own empowerment back?
Well, you know, turn off your television for a start. Don't function by the yardstick society gives you to judge yourself by. Know that you're beautiful. You're a perfect creation. You're a perfect, you know, being. And no one can be you any better than you, and that's what you came here to be, was you. You came here to experience yourself from exactly the perspective that you have. No one can do that any better than you, so why would anyone consider themselves to be anything but perfect? So change that perspective of what you are. Know that you're a perfect expression of creation, everybody. You know, stop eating GM food. Look at what's in your food. Stop eating genetically modified organisms. Stop watching television. Get fluoride out of your diet. You know, get away from wireless technology, all of this sort of stuff. It's all interfering with you. And these are the things you can do to help yourself biologically, you know, and spiritually. If you understand who you are, it makes a big difference. And go and look at this People's Trust. Go and look at this People's Trust 776 and get the tools you need to get yourself out from the system, to extricate yourself from this system. Because the system keeps you in a state of fear-based mind control. If you can exercise your rights under this UCC filing, you won't have all these bills. You know, we can create a much better world from the infrastructure that we've already got once people realize the power that they've got. And the tools have now been provided to us for us to do this, should we choose to do so. So yeah, there is a lot of hope in this, and it is always darkest before the dawn. And I know things can seem overwhelming, but that's only because people think this system's real, but in actual fact, it only exists on paper. It's just an idea that someone came up with. They wrote it down on paper, and we all went along with it because we don't know any better. But now we're waking up, and there are literally millions of people around the world who are on exactly the same page. So the more of us who stand up and stand in our power and start questioning things and questioning authority in a polite and reasonable way, then the quicker we can bring about change. And I think it's going to happen this year. I really do. I think this is the year. This is the tipping point. And I think as much as they push at us, they're going to find that it's not going to work, because human consciousness wants to go to the next level. And I think that many of us are here helping that. Just this radio show, people like yourself that are doing these things and getting this information out to people. Every single little bit helps. And there are so many thousands of people doing it now that people should not despair at any of it. It's a truly, truly wonderful and historic time to be alive. But whatever you are and whatever you do, just get out there and participate.
Max, there's a wonderful scene. You ever seen the movie Animal House?
Yeah, I have.
There's a scene in it where the young guy is getting stoned for the first time, and Donald Sutherland, the professor, is describing to him that a universe actually exists on his fingernail. In other words, size is a relative issue, and you know, every atom in your body is another solar system, if you will, and fractals of, you know, from the largest thing to the smallest thing. There is this repetition, and size really doesn't matter. It's a fascinating conversation. Sometimes it's hard to translate it on just a radio broadcast. But what would you say to people that are trying to step out that third dimension, or just their five senses, and they're trying to think on a larger scale? To connect to something bigger than them, they don't want to give it a name. And would there be any movies or anything you'd recommend to help people kind of step out of the normal realm of, you know, I was born a sinner and this is my God and this is the book that says so? How can people expand their idea of what they might be or what they are?
They need to cancel what they believe to be true and realize that anything's possible. I was speaking on a show earlier when I spoke about the measurement problem, how a scientist can't measure an atom until he goes to observe it, that it coalesces to form the atom, because we create matter by observing it. So anything's possible. Anything's possible. The only thing that is impossible is that which you believe is impossible. You know, the more you try to reach a spiritual understanding, the more you try to connect to the field, the harder it is to do. The thing to do is to just connect to it. And I don't know how to make that any easier. And people will say, well, that's all very well, but how? And it isn't even a belief that you can do it. It's a knowing that you can.
It's a knowing. I was just going to say it's a knowing. Yes. It's not a belief. Yes.
It's a knowing. No one can do your spiritual journey for you. It's knowing that there is a lot that exists outside visible light, a lot that exists outside the five senses. I said on a show recently that I recommend everybody go and do ayahuasca at least once. Just to have those higher senses come on.
It's on my bucket list. It's definitely on my bucket list, Max.
Yeah, well, you know, I did four ceremonies in Peru, and I got to see what's outside visible light. A lot of my higher senses came online. It's not something you go and do for pleasure. It's not this recreational thing, hey, let's all drop acid and go out for the weekend. It's not like that. It's a very, very deep spiritual thing, and I don't recommend anybody do it on their own.
It came up slowly. It's different than DMT because I have done neither, but I you know, Joe Rogan and a lot of other people talk about the pineal gland and the idea that, and the ayahuasca is something you can be ingested in through your stomach. So it actually has a slower, you come in slow, you leave slowly, and it's much more of a spiritual, feeling than being on a rocket ship, correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, DMT is like being shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
The beauty of ayahuasca is that there's two components. There's the shikuna leaves and there's the ayahuasca vine. The shikuna leaves contain the DMT, which opens your pineal, gives your body a flood of this DMT that you're supposed to have in your body anyway, more than what you've got. And the vine, the ayahuasca vine, actually contains a spirit, and the spirit of the vine will guide you through and show you that world, and it will guide you through and show you parts of yourself that you don't normally look at. So without the vine, you don't have the guide. You don't have the spiritual guide for the journey. And that's the important part, is to understand that everything is alive. Everything is consciousness. Consciousness creates reality itself. Everything is energy. The field around you is not empty. It's full of energy, and that energy is what creates everything based on perception, what you perceive to be real, what your belief system says is possible. And this is a collective consciousness. We've got 7 billion souls here on this planet, and it's a collective manifestation. That's how come I can know this, but I can't change reality by believing something different or knowing something different, because it's a collective manifestation. I can affect
take,
my
it would take a couple more people like you to be able to, yeah. Yeah, you know, there's about 11 million pieces of information around my eyes, ears, nose. Every second, my brain can process like 400 of them. So the true experience of what we really are and the energy levels that only a machine can measure gamma rays, but who knows, maybe someday my brain might be elevated to the point where not only can I measure gamma rays, I can choose the information that's in that gamma ray and process it. I'm fascinated by our potential. I'm a little I'm not bummed, but I'm a little angry at how we've been controlled as a species, and it's good to see that people like you are out there, you know, I don't know, breaking down the barrier, I guess you could say, and saying, what if, at least. But you're right, it is a knowing, and it's a seek and ye shall find kind of knowing. You really got the horse to water, but the horse is going to drink when it's ready. And I think each individual will do that when they're ready, but I agree with you that more and more, excuse me, are now ready. And that's why so many more people are using that term wake up or red pill, or because they're all having their own awakening. Maybe it's someone who's tired of the geoengineering above his head. Maybe someone's kid is now autistic from vaccinations. And by the way, aspartame is ripping people. MS is going off the scale. There's some great articles right now on aspartame. They've actually changed the name of aspartame. Yeah. Because it is really the demon is starting to be exposed for what it is, Max. So there are lots of battles being won. I agree with you.
Oh, there are a lot of people are waking up, and this is the time of change. It's a spectacular time to be alive. It really, really is. But I think you have to have a spiritual understanding, but you've got to apply it to the world. You can't miss out on 3D reality, because that's where you are, and you're here for a reason. And you know it will be what we make it. And I think the time has come for us to choose what we want it to be. And I think the more positive we get, you know, the more people will wake up around us. And the more negative they make it, the more people will wake up around us. I think human consciousness is destined to go to the next level, and it will not be held back, no matter what the controlling hand tries to do. I think everything they do simply accelerates the process. So I think it's a wonderful time to be alive, and it's great to be out here, like, riding the wave as well, you know.
Ron Paul said, it's impossible to stop an idea whose time has come.
Exactly.
And it's been a pleasure talking to you, Max. I'm a fan of your work and, you know, the show I've been doing. It's great to be able to, especially with the Internet helping us connect like this. And I would love to maybe track you down another 3 or 4 months. You can give us an update on anything you're up to. And it's just been a pleasure having you on my show. And I want to thank you from the staff of Dangerous Conversation. You keep doing what you're doing. We'll keep doing what we're doing, and who knows, maybe we can definitely change the ripples in the pond, if you will.
Oh, I think we already are. I think it's coming this year, brother, and a pleasure to be on. Happy to come back on any time.
All right, Max, take care, be good, and enjoy Australia, and thank you for checking in with us. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, we'll hit a break and thank our sponsors, come back, and finish up.